You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
It's great to be with you all. Before I went to my Christian college in Missouri, I did a semester at a state university. Now, state universities have classes that weed out students that aren't smart enough to stay in there. And I was in one of those 100-level English classes. It was a huge room like this. Professor was down here, had a desk, taught, didn't care about us, and I got disinterested. And it was English. Sorry, I'm a math guy. And so I'm going to class, but then there was a video game that I loved, and over that semester, I was like getting high scores, and I was beating my personal best, and I was saving the world. And it got to the end of the semester, and I just wasn't motivated. And the last class before the final, he says, you know, you need to be here on time. You will get the exam. You'll go to your chair. You will finish it, and you will turn it in, and you will not be late. If you do not turn it in right away, it's an F. Have a good weekend. So Tuesday comes around. It's finals. I intended to be at class on time. I mean, it was my motive. I had good motives. But I was doing so good. And I was scoring so high on that video game that time got away from me. And then when I realized if I sprinted, I would be like 20 minutes late. So I played another minute and I sprinted. And I ran all the way to the class. I run into the classroom. People were all seated just working fast and furiously. I go by the desk to get the exam. The professor looks up at me, and I think he said, idiot. I don't know for sure, but I thought he was like, idiot. I get the exam. I run up to my chair. I start to work. Well, it goes so fast. And next thing you know, he says, 5 minutes left. I'm not even halfway done. 5 minutes go by fast. He's like, turn in your exams now. So everyone starts getting up from their chairs. They come down the stairs. They start stacking their exams. There's a big old stack because there's hundreds of people in this class. I keep working. A few other people, I look around, safety and the fact that there's a few other people. And then he says, turn in your exams now or it's an F. Well, the other people get up quickly and they start to walk down the stairs. I keep working. I just needed to do a few more and I just kept going. Well, then I'm the last person. I walk down the stairs to turn it in. As I go to turn it in, he looks at me and he goes, that's an F. I didn't know what to do. So I did what popped in my head. I was 18. All sorts of things pop in your head. And I said, do you know who I am? He looks at me and he goes, no. I go, do you know who I am? And he looks at me and he goes, no, and I don't care. It's an F. I said, I picked up the stack of exams, slid mine in the middle, and ran out. Why are you clapping? That's cheating. Cheating. A few of you were like going, he's our chapel speaker. Well, that really didn't happen. But it's a great intro, I know. You had such respect for me. But it tied into the whole dude week. Dude, that's awesome. When I was in college, dude really was the word you said. I'm not making this up. Dude was for everything. We were tired. We're college students, and you get tired and you just don't want to say a whole lot. And so everything was dude. I mean, for real, it's like, dude, the guy comes in and goes, I got a date for this weekend. It's like, dude. And somebody else goes, my girlfriend broke up with me. Dude. You go to the cafeteria and there's like, we had this thing called Evangel Telly because the college was called Evangel. And they took every noodle from the last 2 weeks and they put it into a pan with spaghetti sauce. And they called it Evangel Telly. Dude. You go back to your dorm room. You feel like something's not right. Someone might be hiding in the closet. Dude. So, dude week, detoxing from technology, guys, girls, gals, you got next week. This week, guys, I'm proud of you. I commend you. When I grew up, we were poor, and the only technology we had was a toaster. And for us, excitement was Jiffy Pop popcorn. Anyone know what I'm talking about, Jiffy Pop? It's vintage. It was back before the bag popcorn where you put it in the microwave. Microwave? Psh, we had a stovetop with burners with real gas, and we liked it. And you'd have this like little aluminum pie pan that has this little metal wire attached to it as a handle, because metal conducts. So let's make it out of metal so you can burn your hand. And you'd set it on the stove, and inside was popcorn, kernels, and some oil, some lard, and we liked it. And you would take it, and it had this kind of foil that was kind of twisted and just kind of flattened down, but then when you put it over that stove and you start to, you had to keep moving it or you burn it, and you just do this. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, shh, shh. And the popcorn would start to, the oil would start to, the lard would start to melt in there, and the popcorn little kernels would start moving around, and they start having themselves a dance because it's Valentine's, and they're just kind of, hey, and then it starts popping, and then it takes this foil, and it's curled in such a way that it starts to come up like a giant crown, puffy Burger King hat from the 80s, and it was just, and it was popping, and that was what we did on Friday nights, and we liked it. Then we got a television. I was the remote control. This shows you how old I was. I literally, that's why I watched TV laying on the floor, because I had to be right next to it. Hey, son, turn to channel 5. So I'd have to. Son, turn back to channel 4. But nowadays, I got an iPhone. I got all sorts of good technology. I like it. But I love that you all are detoxing. Guys, you're detoxing because life change happens in the context of loving, caring relationships. And we get so busy looking down that we miss these opportunities to love people like Jesus loves people and wants us to represent him to love people so that people are drawn to him. Now, it's Valentine's Day or Hallmark Day. I like that. And we read in Matthew 22 that Jesus was teaching, and it said in verse 34, it says, hearing that he had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question, and he said, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? Now, if you do any study of Jewish rabbinic culture, this question was a dumb question. This was the lob, okay? This is that volleyball perfect setup to spike it. Everyone knew, all the different religious factions, they knew that the greatest law, the greatest law was to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That was a given. But they argued all the time about second, third, fourth. They put everything in order. So was it to love your neighbor, or was it to honor the Sabbath? If your neighbor's cow falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, do you help your neighbor by loving them, or do you honor the Sabbath and not help them? And they would discuss what one was more important. So they tried to set Jesus up. And Jesus responds, and the text says that he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he blows their mind. He doesn't just pick the second. He says, the second is like it. He now takes the second commandment that he's going to reveal, and he puts it up there with the first. They go together. Love your neighbor as yourself, for all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Well, if Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, who we love, who we want to know better, if he tells us to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, then I go, I want to be about that. Then I ask the question, what does that look like? And that's all I want to do in the next 15 minutes. I just want to kind of put some wheels on this thing. First of all, love doesn't inflict pain on the other person. Love isn't self-serving. I think about my brother. My brother's 2 years older than I am. He went prematurely gray when he was quite young, and for whatever reason, I didn't. But he was always that kind of professor. He actually is a professor, sorry. He's got a doctorate in New Testament. He teaches, so it turned out that he's a professor. But when we were kids, I mean, when you're 8 and 10, you don't want a professor brother. You just want the jerk brother, the typical brother, does stupid things. But no, not Dave. David would never, he never got spanked. I got spanked every 1.7 days. The only time he got spanked was when we started a fight and we'd hear my dad say, "Boys!" And then we'd be like, "Ah!" We'd hug because you could hear everything in this old house we were in. And so I'd be hugging him, "Oh, we're fine, we're fine." We'd yell at my brother, would go, "No, we're not! We're fighting!" I'm like, "Shut up! David, he'll spank us!" "I don't care. You need a spanking." He's 10 years old and he's telling me 8-year-old. It's like, dude, I get him all the time. Well, this one time, my parents weren't home, and we got in a fight. And what happened was I would kind of go into this Hulk mode. I just kind of literally lose. I used to have a temper. I don't have a temper anymore, but I had a temper little kid. All of a sudden, I'd just go, and I'd start chasing him. Well, he got scared, and he would run. And then we had this old 100-year-old house, and so you didn't really have a lot of doors. But we would just run around the dining room table, run around the dining room table. Then we'd run through the sunroom, run through the living room, through the hallway, back around the dining room table. And the goal was for David to make it up the stairs and into the upstairs bathroom, because that was the only door in the entire house that locked. I chased him. It was just kind of a cat and mouse thing. Tom and Jerry, it just kind of happened. And then he would go lock himself in the bathroom. And then when I finally calmed down, he'd come out, and then he'd hit me. I'm like, "Oh, stop." And then it was over. Well, this one time, I caught him. Well, first, he wrapped me up from the back, and then I would ram him in the corners of door. And then that's what helped me, because then he turned, and then all of a sudden, as I rammed him, he's like, "Ah!" And then I turned around, and I just went, "Pff." You know, you don't really, you know, you don't lean into it, you know, it's not Wilder and Tyson Fury. So just kind of, anyway, and all of a sudden he stopped. And then when I did it, I was like. And then he stops. And he walks away. Like a good New Testament theology professor at 10 years of age. He leaves. I end up eating some, doing some, getting a banana or whatever. And then I go upstairs. Well, and our house is old, so you hear every creak, and you know who was coming upstairs. Anyway, I come up to the top of the stairs, and right when I get to the top of the landing, he comes out of his bedroom with his Bible. Now, let me remind you, love isn't self-serving. Now, I was a jerk, but I'm just saying, he could have done better. And he walks out with his Bible. And he meets me on the landing, and he goes, "Daniel, the Bible says that when someone hits you on the cheek, you should turn the other cheek, and that is what I'm going to do." So I went, "Poof." I did. I'm the little brother. I'm the weasel. Come on. So love isn't self-serving, okay? If we want to love other people, we've got to get our faces out of our phones. And again, I've had to learn this, and I'm still learning this, okay? So I'm right there with you. I put my phone on airplane mode a lot now. I'll swipe it, top corner, hit airplane mode, put it in my pocket. Then I engage people. Then periodically you have to stop, because it's a job, people trying to get a hold of me. I'll check it real fast, you know, and then swipe it back in my pocket. Why? So I don't let somebody else interrupt my engagement with people. I have found that I can now learn names way faster because I'm not distracted. So I got to meet Zach. I got to meet Tyler. I got to meet Nick. I got to meet Zach. I got to meet, yeah, there's two Zachs up here. Team two. Then there's Mark, and there's Jamie, and there's Tim. Tim mic'd me up. I wouldn't remember any of that if I had my phone going and I'm checking this. It's amazing the brain's power. God made us to have capacity to love people. And so three things, that's all I want to give you. This really basic. If you want to love your neighbor, if you want to do as Jesus says, that he has a new command for us to love one another sacrificially so that people will see that you love one another and that you're his disciples. And so let's do that. So this is the three things. First thing, Surrender your right to choose your neighbor. If we really want to love, as Jesus says, and meet people where they are, we're going to want to meet needs. But we got to surrender our right to choose our neighbor. Jesus, in his spirit, is going to be bringing people to us. We don't know who he's going to bring, but are our eyes up and are we ready to have the capacity, because we're not so distracted, to love them? Ministry's messy business. It's heavy to walk alongside people in their distress. The Lord has been working on me to pray more. I'm an action guy. Tell me what you want me to fix. But pray? Let's leave that to the widows who can't get out of their house. And the Lord's like, no. I want you to pray. Because that shows me that you care about someone that you can't do anything about, but you can rely on me, and you care enough about them to bring them before me. And the Lord's been working on me to pray, and he's opening and softening my heart more and more to care for people the way the Lord wants to bring it. Well, then he does bring people, but it's messy. And if you pull someone out of the gutter, you're going to get a little dirty. So the first thing is surrender your right to choose your neighbor with technology. And you can block them. You can scroll past them. You can ignore their posts. I mean, you can do all these things with technology, and you can literally restrict your circle to this very limited group. And what I would say to you is, then you don't have much capacity to fulfill God's call for you, to be his body, to reach the needs of others. What a missed opportunity, day after day. So we got to put some of this technology aside. We don't let it control us and our desire, because what happens is it keeps, and they know exactly what they're doing. These technology companies know exactly. They don't put an end to what you can scroll and look at. It never ends. It's like video games in college, and even out at college, even as an adult had kids, I was up 2-3 in the morning, because I just wanted to get the high score. So now I don't have any video games in my house. If I want to play video games, I got to go to, used to be Crazy Cleve's Video Train. Had popcorn. And now it's Revel and Roll. And if you go to the one in Kalamazoo, I've got the highest score on the pinball machine. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't that make you feel good? What does that do? Nothing. You know, I feel like I'm saving the world. No, you did nothing. You just have a lot of zeros and a one in front of it. So, surrender your right to choose your neighbor. Second, be willing to risk your well-being for the well-being of others. Let me put it this way. Be willing to risk your fun so that you can care about the well-being of others. Now, I learned this through something that was, believe it or not, traumatic. I say traumatic, I use that word loosely, but traumatic event. I was dating my wife. And I went to her parents' house for a holiday. They give me the room, and this is your bathroom. Great. Seems pretty basic. Go at some point during the visit, on the first day, I go to the restroom. And then, like any good human does, they wash their hands. Well, I go to the sink to wash my hands. And what does she have there? These beautiful, ornate, carved Christmas ornament soaps. They're beautiful of Santa and the sleigh and a Christmas tree, and they're beautiful, and they're soap. And what am I supposed to do? You haven't been in this situation. Your potential and future mother-in-law puts these beautiful soaps. If you use one once, they're a round ball. And I don't know if she wants me to just look at them. I don't understand the mind of a woman. Who can fathom? So I stand there, and I be honest with you, I've suppressed what happened. I know I washed my hands. I had to have. So I don't know if I use the soap or if I went to another bathroom or the kitchen sink. I have no idea what I did because it scared me because I didn't want to get in trouble with her. But let's not be guest soaps. Let's not be beautiful and fragrant, look so good, but we do absolutely nothing. God made us to get into the situations that are dirty, to get in hands that need to be cleansed by his power with our help, modeling what it is to have a relationship with Jesus, sharing God's word, meeting needs. A whole nother talk on leadership, but I'll tell you, leaders are people who meet needs of others. People who have character. I mean, leadership development and character development are the same thing. And the people I've seen in my 30 years of camping ministry, they're meeting needs. They don't have the title. They just meet needs. And people follow them because of their character and how they serve and love in tangible ways. So let's not be guest soaps. So first, we want to surrender our right to choose our neighbor. Secondly, we want to risk our well-being for the well-being of others. So that means, or we want to risk our fun. We want to set aside our fun for the benefit of other people. That means we have to put some stuff down. We have to dial back on some of our technology. And it could be just, you just go to movies all the time. Well, then take someone with you. I mean, it doesn't have to be big. That's the third point. Experiment with ways of reaching people. Experiment with ways of sharing Jesus with people. Now, you may go, oh, I don't have the evangelism gift. Okay, that's fine. Can you smile? Now, do know that when I say this stuff to you, these are things I've said to myself, okay? So when I get a little bit like, can you smile? I'm really thinking about me and my past, and I'm kind of disappointed with myself that I just walked around. Before I had RK surgery, I used to squint a lot. I'm happy. And then finally, I had summer staff, because I run Go Lake Ministries, which is a family camp resort, where we have families come, but we do youth camp for the family in a resort setting, so you have incredible food and blah, blah, blah. And we're here interviewing today. If you don't have a summer job, ministry job, we'd love to talk to you about half summer, full summer. But anyway, we're here today. So if you see somebody, Go Lake Ministries, that's my team. Okay. I used to scare staff. I wasn't unhappy. I love my staff. Are you kidding me? But because I couldn't see very well, and I always had this is my resting face. It's that. And people say, are you upset? I go, what? I'm loving today. And then someone showed me a picture of me. And I went, wow, I look like I'm mad. Yeah! And so the Lord said to me, if you want to love people, you got to change your face. I mean, the spirit can be blunt sometimes. And so I literally, this is 20 years ago, I went to the mirror. I said, okay. If the Lord wants me to change my face, how do I do it? So I started doing. And I tried different facial expressions. I'm not exaggerating, okay? I was making up the first story I talked, but I'm telling you the truth, okay? Now, I went to the mirror and I was trying different facial expressions. What would be normal looking and nice? And then so instead of doing this all the time, there you go. I got this height of my eyebrows. And I practiced, and it took about 2 weeks. And now it's natural. For real. And I share with the adults, because I speak to the adults sometimes, each week. One of the things, I've had more people tell me that this is the greatest thing you've ever shared. You've changed my life. And I go, what was that? Was it when I talked about Jesus or some theological? No, eyebrows up. I've had more impact on the world, eyebrows up, with that phrase. Because if you could just smile, experiment with ways of reaching people. Sometimes it's just smiling. I was speaking at a young adults conference down in Texas. I'm in Michigan. I fly down. By the time you get there, it's like three flights. And then I'm getting in a van to drive 2 hours. And it was raining because they don't have snow. It was raining. And it's late, and I'm with all these people in these two vans, and we're going, and we stop and pull in to get some food at like 10 o'clock at night, and we pull up into this gourmet restaurant called Wendy's, and I'm like, I don't know if I can take any more fast food, and so I'm starting to get a little attitude. And I'm like, no, Lord, I represent you. How do I love you and love my neighbor? And so as we're getting out of the van and we're going into Wendy's, I basically get to the door and I'm like, okay. And then the Lord has a phrase that he says to me, you know, you're not here to just suck air and eat groceries. That's kind of the phrase, okay? We kind of have this mutual thing. He just kind of says, you're not here to suck air and eat groceries. I'm like, oh, okay. So as I'm going in, I remember going to the restaurant. I remember, okay, I'm not here to suck air and eat groceries. I'm at Wendy's with a bunch of people I don't know, with a bunch of people in the restaurant I don't know. What am I going to do? Just start getting up on a table and preaching? So I don't know what to do. So when in doubt, just smile. So that's what I started with. Smile. And they had this line thing. It was really busy. People are traveling. And then they had this one register. I don't know what they were thinking back then. And microphone. And the gal's like, can I take your order, please? Yeah, it'll be a number 2 combo. You know, whatever. So I'm waiting in line, and I'm just doing this. So some people were in the group. Some people weren't in the group because it's doing this little zigzag. And I'm like, what are you going to get? And I'm like, I think I'm getting the number 4. And they're like, good for you. And so I just smile, and I didn't know what to do, but that was the Holy Spirit. Just smile. Just smile. Eyebrows up. And I'm just smiling. Nothing really happens. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I'm the idiot in this restaurant, but I'm smiling. Praise God. And I get up to the register, and the gal there, she's tired, and she's like, can I take your order, please? And I'm like, yes. And I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just giving you one illustration. I got a lot of these, okay? Because this is how my life rolls. When you surrender your right to choose your neighbor, you experiment with ways of reaching people, and you risk your well-being for the well-being of others, even if it's just the way they think about you. And I looked at her and I go, I'd like a number 4. And then it just came. And I said it because I felt like it had to be from the Lord. I go, with a lot of love. And that lady, young gal, she's probably like 22, she looks at me, she goes, number 4, with a lot of love. And the guy back here, everyone now is staring at me. The people that are waiting for their tray of food, the people behind me, they're all like, what? And she looks and she goes, yeah, that number 4 with a lot of love. And all of a sudden, she kind of lightened her spirits. And so then other people start walking up and go, I'll take that number 4. I'll take that number 4. That sounds good. Anyway, I'm just standing there waiting. Everyone's kind of looking. And at this point, I'm like, oh, this is weird. So I don't know what to do. And everyone's like kind of looking at me. I mean, seriously, they're looking at me. And so I just smile, sweat, smile. And then the manager, who's expediting, getting the trays and doing stuff, she comes over, I'll never forget, she goes, here's your number 4 with a lot of love. And I went, oh, I love it. I mean, and I go, there's a lot of love. I'm going back to my church, there's a lot of love. Everyone's what? I don't know what the Lord did to redeem that thing. Like, I had no idea, but before I left, I went and I just said, because now that there's an awareness and I've been smiling and they have no reason to hate me, I go, hey, thanks so much for that number 4. I felt the love. Thank you for all y'all are doing. Jesus bless you guys for all your hard work. Thanks. And I leave. And I drop Jesus' name and I try to be loving. It may be someone comes up and asks you for money. This happened to me coming out of the Earth Fair or food co-op. And the guy goes, hey, man, can I have $2? And I was in a hurry. I stopped, big old mohawk. African-American dude, big old mohawk. He looked good. And I go, what's your name? He goes, James. I go, hey, I'm Ambush. By the way, I have a nickname. We all have nicknames. And so that's a whole other story into the chapel, maybe. I'll tell you about that. And so I sit down. I go, hey, do you have time to sit down? Now, I didn't have time to sit down, but I felt like the Holy Spirit, because I was surrendering my right to choose my neighbor. I was willing to risk my well-being, because you don't know if the guy, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, if they're homeless, are they desperate? How are they going to rot? You don't know these things. And there's those fears that come in. And sometimes I do walk away. Sometimes I don't. But then there's other times the Lord says, no, sit down with them. And I felt like the Lord said, sit down with them. I said, hey, you got time to sit down? And he's like, because there's a picnic table outside the food co-op. And he's like, yeah. I said, sit down. We sit down. I found out his name's James. So I go, can I call him Mohawk James? He goes, sure. Find out that Mohawk James came from Detroit. He came over here to live with his aunt. And what he really liked to do in life is he liked to do mixed music and stuff. But that hasn't come about, and he's just trying to get some money to get a bus to go up to Grand Rapids. And I said, so you're not going to use this for drugs or anything? He's like, no. I just need to go to... I said, okay, well, why'd you ask for $2? He goes, I don't know. I go, well, how much does it cost for a bus ticket? And I just give him the money. But we spent 30 minutes together. I found out all about Mohawk James. I prayed with him. I told him that Jesus, he's there. We don't always know, and he gets a bad rap because Christians don't do what they're supposed to do to represent and look like Jesus. They don't represent well. I said, Jesus is awesome. And I told about Jesus and some scripture, and I gave him some basic stuff, and it was so natural. It was so spirit, just God's love is experienced best when it doesn't just flow to me, but when it flows through me. And I had a chance to love and let God's love flow through me to Mohawk James, and I just spent some time just talking with him. I'm telling you, when you put some of these distractions aside and you invite the Holy Spirit to help you and say, show me how to love, life gets exciting. A little weird, but exciting. And you will be so encouraged by what God does. So, this week, maybe you get 9-volt batteries. You go to some people in the neighborhood and say, hey, just want to give you a battery for your smoke detector. How many do you need? They'll look at you like, what? You too old to be a Boy Scout. Say, oh, I know, I'm just giving these away because I figure you haven't changed them and I just want you to be safe. And Jesus loves you guys, he loves me, and I just wanted to leave you some kind of gift. Okay, hey, have a great day, bye. And that's it. I need to wrap up. Lord, thank you for your love. Your grace is stunning. We can understand, we can swallow your justice. That makes sense because we're sinners, but your grace and your compassion is it just blows us away. It's hard to even to put our arms around that. But Lord, you put your arms around us. So Lord, I pray for the student body. Lord, I pray as you wrap up this dude week, Lord, as they detox, that they will take and apply some of these limits on their technology so that they can have their eyes up and their eyebrows up and they can love their neighbor and they can surrender their right to choose their neighbor. They can experiment with ways of reaching people and they would be willing to risk their fun, their agenda, their calendar for the benefit of other people. And Lord, you will give them more life than they've ever experienced as they yield to you. So Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.